Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, it's time to get real. Oh, yeah. It's a new experience. Yeah, keep your ears open for this one, man. You got a question for RLM? Yeah, it's time to get some answers, baby.
Time to get real and welcome everyone. Welcome to Reality Spirituality. I'm your host, Rebecca Lynn Norrington, and as usual, I'm excited about today's show. But before I introduce our guests, let me share with the new listeners, because we're getting new listeners every week. I'm so excited just to connect with everyone around the world. Reality Spirituality, what the hell, what kind of show is this anyway? Well, I'm glad you asked. Reality Spirituality, it's not a religion. It's a guide to living connected, living connected to our most powerful energy source. Some people use the term God. Some people say higher power, Buddha, whatever you call it. I like to use the term universe. And this show provides ways, behaviors, different perspectives, tools, strategies. This show tells you how, shows you how to live connected. We all know the concepts. We all know to live in the moment. Yeah, yeah, blah, blah, blah. But how? That's the big question. How do we do it? And that's what Reality Spirituality is all about. Basically, I spent most of my life searching for a feeling, wanting to feel a certain way, wanting to feel happy, wanting to feel happy all the time. And so with that, I looked everywhere outside of myself, marriage, bank accounts, traveling, bank accounts, that doesn't even count, traveling, Mr. Right, job titles, you name it. I looked for happiness outside of myself, and what did I discover? That it doesn't exist. It does not exist. Everything that I was looking for, everything that I was searching for is right inside of me. It's like that Wizard of Oz. It's like Dorothy. Remember Glinda told her, she says, "You've had the power all along, my dear. You've had the power all along." And so that's what this show shares, how to find that power, how to live in that power, and how to stay powerful. Because quite frankly, I usually just talk about myself. I don't look and say, well, everyone can, because there's 7.2 billion perspectives on this planet, 7.2 billion people, 7.2 billion perspectives. And so I like to share with you how I do it. And what I'm saying is, what I've had to learn is, all of the stuff I thought I was, all of the stuff in my head, all of my thoughts had to be replaced with new ones. That's what this show is about, learning, teaching how to remain happy, how to remain connected. And when I say happy, I'm talking about an internal happiness, an internal contentment, an internal peace in mind. And I'm telling you, when you live like that, when I live like that, there is nothing, absolutely nothing, that can shake it or take it away. But enough of me. Let's welcome our guest. And our guest is, I'm so excited to talk to this woman, because we chatted a little bit before the show. And you know how you just instantly connect with someone? You don't even know why. You don't even, well, we know why. The universe put us together, but there's just a connection, just right immediately connecting. And so my guest is Catherine, Dr. Catherine Kelly, and she's a licensed practicing psychologist, consultant, and speaker. She has authored several nationally published academic and holistic health articles, and she provides workshops, and listen to this, is what she calls them, soul health. Don't you love that? Soul health. Yeah, we talk about body health, mind, soul health. And you know what? Let me just bring Dr. Kelly on. I'm going to call her Catherine. Welcome, Catherine. Welcome to Reality Spirituality. I'm so glad you're here with me this morning.
Oh, thank you. I'm extremely excited to be here and was loving what you were saying about happiness and joy earlier.
Yes. Well, that's what it is all about.
yes, it is.
one of my favorite quotes, and I usually always say it, but for some reason I wanted to say it with, you know, to you and to my audience is, you cannot have a happy ending to an unhappy journey. And so this, for me, this life is about this journey and being happy, content in every single moment. Where did you get your, I mean, in the beginning, give us a little bit of a background in the beginning, Catherine. Who were you, what were you, and how did you evolve, and what were the motivating factors for your evolution?
You know, it's funny because with clients and workshop participants, I talk a lot about learning in retrospect, that, you know, we can learn in the moment, but I think our history, just like you said, our journey, our history is where we have the most fodder for learning. Because, you know, we've lived through it, we've gotten through kind of the human condition part of it, meaning the emotional part of it, and we can kind of look back at it and reflect a little differently. And what I have discovered probably very recently is that a lot of my understanding of, again, what I call the human condition, in other words, you were talking about it earlier, I just kind of use this broad umbrella term for it, meaning, you know, all the joys, all the sorrows, all of the celebrations, all of the griefs, all the, pretty much everything we experience in life is the human condition. And I think what I have discovered is that way back when I was 9 years old, my father had an accident that medically disabled him. And anybody who, again, goes through something like that, of course their entire world is just shaken and shot and blown away, and you have to really dismantle it and reconstruct it. And to me, that was my first experience of really watching the human condition just be kind of torn apart in a way. And because he was the head of the household and he was the breadwinner, not only was his human condition shaken and kind of thrown around a bit, but really all of the rest of us were too. There were 5 kids in the family. And my mom was a stay-at-home mom, and so she had to go back to work. And really the whole structure of our family shifted. So fast forward to when I was a junior in high school, I took an honors psychology class, and within about a week to 10 days, I knew that's what I was supposed to do. I knew that I was supposed to help people kind of understand themselves better, and, you know, people all along the way had confided in me and talked to me, but, you know, I just thought, well, this is just what friends do or family members do. But when I hit that class, I was thinking, wow, this is it. This resonates with me. And so fast forward again to graduate school. And, gosh, I was 23 at the time when I entered my master's program. And this is where I think the universe really lines things up without us even knowing it. Because at the time that I was in the master's program, I also was working at the student health promotion department of that same university. And so I was learning a wellness model, and I was teaching it to college students and to some of the staff. And I was really involved in a lot of the wellness activities. And from that point on, what ended up happening was that through my master's program, I did a lot of the wellness work. I started working in healthcare facilities. During my doctoral training, I did probably most of my training in various medical settings. And so to me, health was always important. But what ended up happening as I merged the health information with the psychological information is that I saw that there was absolutely positively no way to separate any of it, even though, you know, the healthcare field might separate it out. The psychological training really never talks about wellness itself.
Mm-hmm.
And so, again, I know it's a little bit of a long story, but I fast forward to the point where I opened a holistic health center. I was a faculty member at a medical school for several years, and I left that position for many reasons, but one of which was because it was so limiting to the scope of what care could be given to a person. And so I opened a holistic health center and learned more and more about the dynamics that happen in to go into that joy that you were talking about or that happiness you were talking about. And so what I did was I started developing this model that I do call the soul health model. And it's basically a picture of a tree that instead of just having one branch for physical health, it actually has 10 branches which encompass all of our aspects of health that I believe go into that deepest and most fulfilling level of well-being. And in that deepest and most fulfilling level of well-being is what I call that soul health. And so our soul instructs us on how to get that. We just have to figure out how to connect with our soul, like you were saying a little bit earlier, in order to access the information we need to get to that joy.
So that's what this book is all about. Yeah, wow. Soul health. Okay, so... Jesus, I know I want to go back to some of the things
sure.
that you said, but then now I'm stuck on this soul health.
Well, we will go wherever the universe takes us.
Yes, yes, yes. You know what? Because what you your story about your father losing, you know, so you're saying that he was paralyzed at when you were 9 years old, correct?
Yeah, he wasn't paralyzed, but he was medically disabled, meaning that he emotional and physical reasons, he just could not go back to the same capacity that he had.
Okay.
He basically had to medically retire. He could not do the same things that he could before. And it was devastating.
I was about to say devastating, you know, that's just mild, putting it mildly. And I'm just feeling that whole situation. And as a child, there had to be things that affected you because of that. I mean, specifically, how did that affect you growing up as an adult? You know, high school, growing up, a young woman. And specifically, can you share with us what are some of the challenges that you've had because of that as an individual?
You know, absolutely. And I think the number one, and I think a lot of people who are listening will relate to this, when a young person goes through something like that, where they're subjected
trauma.
To something that is, yeah, something that's trauma or drama or subjected to something that is very prematurely placed upon them.
Mm.
I think a couple things happen, one of which is either people just get stuck, or I think what happened for me is I kind of kicked into high gear. I grew up very quickly as a result of this. So I was always kind of a helper, but I kicked into this mode of helping my mom, helping my dad, helping kind of my four older siblings, and I've always been the helper in the family. And I think, you know, blessing and curse of that is that I didn't really get to enjoy the childhood things as much because I grew up very quickly. But on the other hand, what the blessing part of that, I always try to look at the human condition as a possible blessing as well. If we really take those traumas and learn about them to see, okay, what can I learn about me as a result of these? And I think what happened is exactly this model in this book, which I use day in, day out with individual clients or workshop participants, is that I know the human condition. I lived it from age 9 on in a very different way than a lot of 9-year-olds do. But I feel very blessed in many ways because I can take that understanding and really help people evolve beyond their old stuff. And so to me, that's how I look at it, is I'm kind of the eternal Pollyanna where I'm gonna turn it around and see where it will take me, not where it's going to get me stuck.
Right. Oh, you know what? I love that. And it's interesting because you said you said that you look at things for possible blessings, that things that happen in your life, possible blessings. Well, I'm going to take the word possible out of it, and they're definite blessings. That's what I want to share. That's one of the things that I share on this show. I don't care how trauma or disastrous it seems. Everything, there is not only a blessing, there is something good that comes out of it. Number one, I didn't design any of this stuff because I don't know, but would you have set up the fact that your father was disabled at 9 years old and then you had to come into, you know, you had to switch to high gear and be basically a parent with your mother? Would you have chosen that?
Would I have chosen at nine? Probably not.
Do I think
it was a blessing? Yes, very much.
Exactly, yes. Exactly. So what I'm saying is, none of this stuff is a choice. This is my thing. None of this stuff is a choice. This life is not a choice. I don't have a choice. The universe has this magnificent plan, and I'm just along for the ride. And the universe is very illogical with how they set this stuff up.
Right.
And that's what I was getting at. That for me, all I have to do is sit back, relax, trust, surrender, know that the universe set this up, and the only thing I can do is enjoy the ride. So either I'm going to enjoy it, flow with it, or go kicking and screaming and resist.
Right.
So that's what I wanted to say.
And
I wanted to share with everyone.
Yeah, and I so agree with that. But, you know, I'll tell you, being a psychologist, you have people, I'm sure the world will relate to this, you know, you have people that have adopted or created that mindset of, gosh, okay, I'm going to look at this as a blessing. But I would say the vast majority of the world does not. We victimize ourselves because that is part of the human condition. And so I absolutely agree with what you're saying, and I think if we could get more and more people looking at life as a blessing, we would have a lot less of the turmoil in the world than we do. It's very frustrating that so many life lessons are getting by us.
It's very frustrating. Sounds like a Seinfeld line. Very frustrating. I don't tell anyone. Don't tell anyone, Catherine, but I think it's 1% of the population that understand it and the rest. And I'm not putting any judgments on it, but I really believe that there is a shift happening. There are more people like you, more people like me, more people like my dear person on Byte Radio. And that there is a shift, and and shifts come slowly, evolution comes slowly, and
right.
So I really do believe that there are more of us spreading this word, and people will get it maybe sooner than later. People will get it eventually.
Right, and I agree. And that's, like you said, why you have your radio show, and many people are writing books to help sort of enlighten the soul, really.
Okay, so let's go to your soul health.
Yeah.
You said that did you say there were 10?
Yes.
Okay.
I call them 10 branches of the human condition.
10 branches. Hit me with them.
Okay. Well, you know, most people, of course, automatically think of health in terms of physical health. And, of course, there is a physical health branch. But I've, again, expanded it to 9 others. As a psychologist, I have to have a psychological branch. I have social health. I have interpersonal health. I have financial health, which a lot of people don't think of in terms of health, but I absolutely do because of the impact our finances have. We have spiritual health, intellectual occupational health, sexual health, which is often in other models tucked under the physical branch, but I don't believe we can do that. Environmental health, and then last but absolutely not least is recreational health. And that's the one that most people absolutely forget or put off in terms of health. So those are my 10 branches that I believe, really, if we can learn to balance and embrace our uniqueness within each one of those branches, that's where our souls become the most grounded and healthy, and it creates this whole, I believe, platform for what I call unimpeded growth, meaning that's where our evolution really happens, is when we not only learn what it takes to get ourselves balanced with each one of those branches as a human, but that it really sets the stage for us to just really keep growing and evolving in whatever ways that we're supposed to. And that's why the book itself is called Aligning with Spirit for Radiant Living, is that the more we get balanced in life, the more radiance we emit.
Okay, okay. I'm going to ask you to list those things again,
okay,
only because I was taking notes.
Sure.
And I just, you know, just give me the ten modes again, please, because I'm
okay,
taking notes and I want to come back to each one of them, because as you were saying it, I was
sure.
Okay, so give me one again, please.
Okay.
One and two,
and
three, one to ten.
They may not be in the order that I gave them to you before, because I just throw them out at the top of my head.
Okay, that's okay. That's right.
Okay, so the first one, of course, is physical.
Physical, go ahead.
We have the psychological branch.
Mm-hmm.
We have social health.
Okay.
Interpersonal health.
Okay.
We do have spiritual health, financial health, sexual health, environmental health, intellectual or occupational health. To me, that's one branch. And then the last one that I have listed is recreational health.
Recreation, okay. Okay.
And the way that I talk to people is that, yeah, I know. I know.
I'm looking. So, are you saying that each and every one of these are each one of these 10 points or these 10 health modalities? Are you saying that each one is important?
Oh,
as
absolutely
important.
They all interconnect. So yes, each and every one of them to me is as important as the next one, because each one of them has a very key and important interplay with each of the others. So in other words, and this is my metaphor that I use with folks all the time, because people can look at a tree and really start to understand and resonate. So if you have a tree with 10 branches, and one of those branches, for whatever reason, gets broken, whether it's through a storm, whether a truck comes by and brings it down, whatever it might be, it's going to affect each and every branch, other branch of the tree, because the energy it takes to heal that one particular branch drains the other branches. So in life, for instance, you know, if you think about physical health and look at the other branches of that tree, there is not one other branch that is not affected if you feel sick physically.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah,
so if you go to the opposite end of the spectrum and say, for instance, what's been happening in our financial crisis over the last 4 or 5 years, I don't think anybody who has gone through a pretty traumatic financial situation over the last 4 or 5 years would say that any of those other branches have stayed completely intact. So the whole point of this model is the complex interplay between each and every one of those branches that brings us that deep sense of peace that I think we all want. And I look at those storms that hit our tree or those droughts that take away from our tree as, again, like we were talking before, opportunities to really reevaluate what we need or don't need in each one of those branches or our lives overall, in order to kind of revamp our lives in a way that fits our soul the most. Because we're all going to hit storms. We're all going to have, events happen in life that throw us off. It's what we do with it that makes the difference.
Mm-hmm.
And it's what we do with it that helps us evolve.
Okie dokie. I'm sitting here because I'm actually looking outside at the mountains, and the sun is just coming up, and closing my eyes, listening to you talk and share with the audience. Ooh. And I'm not struggling. I just want to know. I'm thinking about how I'm going to word all of this. Financial health, environmental health. What is environmental health?
You know, environmental health, some other wellness models do have a component that is considered environmental health, and what they consider it is often the basics. So in other words, our environment, our climate, our sense of safety, or all of those things. And I include all of those, but I also include things like cultural impact or regional impact of the country, or also, and most, I think, importantly, energetic environment or our emotional environment. And going back to, you know, that whole idea of the economic crisis, you know, anybody who works in a major corporation right now, the energy within that corporation has changed significantly in the last 4 or 5 years. So you may have had a pretty easygoing environment before the crisis, but often these days you have that sense of there's a whole lot of fear of what's going to happen. Am I going to have my job in 2 months? Am I going to be downsized? Am I going to be reorganized? Or, you know, we also all know when we walk into a room and there's been some sort of tension. And if you live in a household that has a lot of tension, that emotional environment has a huge impact on us as well.
Right.
So I include a lot into each one of those branches, but in that one in particular, you know, I really try to help people look at it from a what I call a 3D perspective, that you really look at all of the aspects within each branch that interconnect to create health within that branch.
Okay. Well, let me share with you. Let me share with you my philosophies, because I am looking at the financial, environmental, recreational, psychic, social, interpret all of this, and I would not. For me, I would take all of it out and just have one. All of it out and just have the spiritual health, energy health, that's it. And the reason why I say that is because when you're born, you know, 1 year old, 2 year old, 3 year old, you're a 2 year old sitting in the backyard, and I use this analogy a lot. I got to come up with another one, but because I'm getting tired of saying it, there's a baby in the crib, and the baby is having a great time outside in the yard, and the baby is playing with the toys and could care less. The baby doesn't care about finances. The baby is not moved by how much money or whether they're financially set, whether they're financially okay, whether they're financially balanced. The baby could care less about the environmental health. Also, the baby is in the moment. The baby is at peace. At peace. Meanwhile, the house is burning down right in front of them. The parents are running out screaming. The dog's getting run over by a car, and the baby is still calm and peaceful. And what I like to teach is how to get to that state of peace. This thing about environmental, financial are all things that I was taught. I was taught to care about. I was taught to care about whether or not I can, whether or not I'm financially, you know, I don't have any financial worries. I was this when you're talking about being in an environment and you can feel the tension. Definitely, you can feel the tension. However, what I think is, if I'm so bright, if you go into a dark room and you turn on the light, then the darkness leaves. I am that light. I am that power. I can be in any environment, and I'm not affected either way. I'm just talking about me personally. So for me, it's not important. I can't make that important. The only thing I can make important is my spiritual evolution.
Right, and really that's what this book is about, but we can't avoid the human condition. And that's my point, is that, you know, yeah, the baby is going to be joyful, but we still have to learn to be humans in order to be successful in our evolution.
Okay. So let's go toe-to-toe here in a lot of love. I'm done with being human. I'm done with being human because There's a lot of baggage with being human. So
right,
for
right,
me,
right.
I am really into just being spiritual and being just. For me, being aligned with the universe and actually being an example of the universe. And the universe doesn't put any thought into any of the environment. And I'm not, this is just what I'm thinking. No, the human condition, I'm done with it. I'm not human. I'm just saying it right now. Here we go, October 20, whatever date. I'm not human.
Well, and what I think, I guess the
Hit
way
me.
That I look at this is you need money to live. You need a house to live in. You need people around you. You need that spiritual aspect.
Keep going.
You need people to get your food prepared for you or to be farmers. I think you're taking it to the extreme because if you read the book, you'll understand that we're exactly what you are talking about, you know, that piece of, you know, you can learn to live in that complete joy. That's what this book is all about. And so if you were to read the book, you would understand that each person has to come to terms with what they really need or don't need within each one of those branches in order to find that space of joy. And really, I mean, we're talking about the same thing, but I think you're taking it in a different direction of what this book is about, because I absolutely agree that generally, you know, loneliness or being with people is a component of the human condition. It is not a component of being a spiritual being. And so I definitely think that, you know, some of those things that you were saying earlier, I think you might be taking it a little bit too literally from what I was saying, because, again, as you read the book, what you realize is that soul health has all to do with becoming completely aligned with your own spirit, no matter what, in order for you to evolve. I mean, that's really what this book is about.
Right, right. That's why I love having people on the show, because honestly, there are, like I said before, 7.2 billion people, 7.2 billion perspectives,
right.
And mine is different than anyone else's, and I appreciate and respect what you are saying, and this is my number one priority, Catherine. My number one priority is this, and it's peace. Peace at all costs. And so for that, I have to create peaceful relationships. And the most important relationship I have to create peace is the relationship with myself.
Mm-hmm.
That's number one. And all of this other stuff, I'm going to let the universe take care of finances. I'm going to let the universe take care of environment. I'm going to let the universe do all of that other stuff. And the only thing I'm going to concentrate is being peaceful, internally peaceful. That's just my thing.
Right. And what I'm saying is that's what this book is all about.
I love it. I love
it.
It
really is. It really is. And I think most people, once they read the book, they realize that that's what this is about. It's about, again, aligning with yourself perfectly. And whatever that means for any given person, like you said, there's 7.5 billion people on this earth, and we're all going to have different trees. We're going to all have different aspects of what makes our peace. But, you know, one of my beliefs is that's partially why we're here, is to learn how to be completely at peace with ourselves regardless of what's going on in the human condition.
Yes.
And so to me, yeah, we're all going to have different trees. We're all going to have different aspects of what that is. And really, this book is about embracing your uniqueness, the uniqueness of your soul, so that you can live within this human thing, whatever this human thing is, so that we can find that space of joy and peace and comfort that I think all of us really want, but most of us just don't know how to get to. So, you know, like you said, if less than 1% of the people that populate this planet are conscious, then, you know, this is a route, this is a blueprint in order for people to get to that place of peace. And it's just one blueprint. You know, there's many, many blueprints out there.
Right, right. So let me ask you a question about your journey, your evolution. What have you, let me see, how am I going to ask you? For you, in the last year or maybe 2 years, how have you grown specifically as a person? Who did you used to be, you know, a year, and who are you now? If that makes, of course, it makes sense. What does your evolution look like?
Well, if we're just talking about the last year or so, you know, frankly, the biggest evolution has to do with the book, because anybody who writes a book has to step into a different role. And yet, and I'm just going to use this example because I think many people, especially artists or writers or anybody who kind of puts themselves out there in a different way, you know, radio show host or, you know, anybody who has to put themselves out there in a different way, you have to face some fears. You have to face some old programmed ideas. You have to, you know, again, I call it evolving beyond some old ways. And, you know, oddly enough, I can do any kind of speaking. I've talked to groups of 500, 600, you know, medical professionals. I can do workshops. I can do these talks on the radio. Those aren't the issue. But what's fascinating for me is that, you know, I'm a lot different of a psychologist than many psychologists out there. Because I do talk about the soul, because I do talk about health and wellness, and because I do talk about holistic kinds of things. And it was really interesting, living here in North Carolina, you know, it's seemingly a fairly conservative place to live, and yet there is this huge holistic population here of folks. And what's been interesting for me over my own, gosh, 2 or 3 years of preparing myself to get this book out there is letting go of the old ideas of what a traditional therapist or psychologist should be has taken some effort because, again, you know, I've always thought of life differently. And so it may sound really simple, but it's been an interesting process for me to allow myself to just shed some of those old thoughts of, oh, gosh, what are people going to think about me when I start talking about the soul? That kind of stuff. And so it's the, again, like you said, the programmed or taught kinds of ideas of restriction, really.
And so now we're getting to the nitty-gritty. Now this is what I love about this show. Because we're all going through this evolution, and it's looking in the mirror, okay, what isn't feeling good anymore? What doesn't fit anymore? What do I need to look at? What do I need to adjust?
Right.
So what you're saying, if I'm hearing it correctly, is to not care about what people think about you.
Not partially, yes. Not care about what people think, and also realize that I'm here to teach them. And I mean, I think I've always known I was a teacher, but it is that, you know, usually the people who teach new concepts are the ones who get the most flack in the beginning. And it's one of those things where I have been challenged at times. You know, I was in the middle of a workshop about a year ago talking about the model to healthcare and mental health care practitioners. And I had a guy probably two-thirds of the way through this all-day workshop say to me, so you don't feel uncomfortable talking about the soul? And I said, no. And he said, well, usually only clergy are allowed to talk about the soul. And I'm sitting there thinking, wow, I didn't know that anybody was exempt. But, you know, there are judgments out there. And it's curious to me what we have to move beyond in order to just be who we are. And so, yes, it is a personal transformation, but, it's that whole idea of partially not caring about what people think, but also stepping into that role and embracing your truth, because to me, my truth is everything that I've written in this book.
I love that, and thank you for the behind-the-scenes story. That's what this show is about, everyday life and all of the challenges how all my challenges are connected to spirituality.
Sure.
When's the last time you got angry?
Oh, that wasn't too long ago.
Here we go. Let's hear it.
It takes a lot to get me angry, a lot. Mm-hmm. And I probably shouldn't say this on radio, but I get really upset with my niece not too long ago because she, it was her graduation weekend from high school. It was very, of course it was exciting for her, but I'll tell you, her excitement went beyond excitement and went to rude.
Now see, this is the show.
That's
here we
the
go.
Nitty-gritty.
Here we go. Okay, keep going. Let's go. Rude.
And I basically, you know, I am not someone who yells. I am not someone who, I've never been someone who calls people names or anything like that, but I basically was very direct with telling her to the point that she was ungrateful and that she has to, I think my words to her basically were something to the effect of, you know, it's time for her to grow up and realize that her behaviors hurt people. And I, it was probably maybe a 30-second interchange, if even that.
Mm-hmm.
But really, it was one of those things where I was watching her during that weekend just be inconsiderate and be rude, not only to me, but everybody around her, including her boyfriend and her mother. And it was so hard for me to watch, and I basically had to just say something because, again, to not say something would have gone way against my truth. And I wasn't cruel, I wasn't mean, but I was direct.
Right.
And you know, I tell clients about this all the time, is that when you get so aligned with yourself and you speak your truth, it feels so much better. And I know that I, you know, what I had to say at that time was exactly what she needed to hear too, whether she liked it or not. So That was where I got the most angry, and we're fine now. I was just home in Colorado is my home. I was just there last week to kind of get my mom back on her feet after a health issue, and you know, my niece and I were fine. We were making an apple pie together. But
Right. But see, okay. And I asked that question. I asked the question about getting angry because for me, that's a sign. For me, I get to a point in my life where I don't want to get angry anymore. I don't want to be irritated anymore. I don't want to feel that type of emotion and that kind of, for me, it's out of control. That's just, I'm just talking about. And what I've learned, this is what I've learned because, believe me, the majority of my relationships have been, there's conflict, there's tug of war, there's never any peace. And like I said, that's my priority now. And what I've just discovered recently, especially with relationships, is that the reason why a relationship is not peaceful, I'm just talking about is not peaceful, is because I want something from someone else. I want either them to get it, I want their behavior to change, I want them to do something different. Number one, I want something from someone else. Number two, I have expectations. I have expectations for someone else. And three, I have an agenda. They all kind of tie in together. But wanting something, expecting, and having an agenda for someone else. And believe me, you sound, you know, like you said, it takes a lot for you to get angry. Well, 10 years ago, 5 years ago, if the wind blew the wrong way, I was angry. So, I mean, yeah, this is coming from someone who was pissed off about a lot of stuff. And with this different mindset of wanting peace, I've had to watch other people behave in a way that I wouldn't want them to behave. And I've had to let that go. For me, and we're all different. For me, that is more powerful than, because like I said, I used to do it all the time. For me, that's more powerful than letting people do and be whoever the hell they want to be.
Mm-hmm. Right. I mean, that's a big part of, I guess, what I would call soul health, too, is observing and not getting absorbed in other people's stuff.
Mm-hmm. And I definitely understand. I get it. I totally get it. I'm just thinking that I had an incident last week where just took me to another, you know, took me out of off my high-flying disc, and I was really, really, I was upset. And what I've also found out is, for me, it's never the other person. It's never what the other person does. It's never what the other person says. It's never what the other person is engaged in. It always comes back to me. That's what I like to say on the show, that I am so powerful. We all are that powerful. It's really never about the other person and what they're doing. It's about what's going on inside of me. Because there are days where you can run over my foot, I'm using that, but there are days where nothing seems to pull on that chain of anger or irritation. But last week I was going to an appointment, and I was running a little late, first time at this doctor's office, running a little late, which always just, you know, puts a little bit of anxiety. And I call for directions, specific directions, because I'm not finding the number on the street. I'm not finding it. And then the lady says, well, it's inside the shopping center. And bottom line is this. I was traveling at least 15 minutes, 20 minutes, trying to find this place, finding out that it's not the number on the street. There's also a unit number that I didn't know, and it's upstairs. When I walked into the doctor's office, I was visibly upset because she didn't give me the right instructions, or she didn't give me the complete instructions, and on and on and on. But coming back, it's my fault because, A, I was not on time. I didn't give myself enough time. I set mm-hmm. myself up. And I didn't look at the card and realize that there were two numbers, the street number and also the unit number. So when I'm telling that story, because I had to really look within again and say, it's all about me. It's all about where I put myself. Mm-hmm. All about what was going on inside of me. It really had nothing to do with anything outside of me. The other
right.
stuff is just extra.
Well, and I always tell clients and workshop participants that anything that gets under our skin is really, again, just another opportunity to learn something about you. And so you're right. You might have more immediately saw it as her, but you know, anything, because our emotions are really just that symptom or sign from our soul that there's something to learn. So the frustration you felt was really just that little cue of, hey, I've got something to learn here.
That's right. Absolutely. And I have something to learn about me. Exactly. We are on the same page. Can you share with my listeners where they can find you and where they can find the book?
Absolutely. They are in many of the major bookstores. You can find them on Amazon.com or BarnesandNoble.com. Or if you want to go to my website, there's two different websites you can go to get to me. The first one is called thesoulhealthmodel.com. And so you actually do have to type in thesoulhealthmodel.com, although Soul Health does generally come up to me anyway. Or you can go also to my other professional webpage, which is drkatherinetkelly.com. So it's drkatherinetkelly.com. And there's lots of information about the book and about events, and I'm getting ready to, in the next year or so, getting ready to start doing some soul health travel, taking groups to different sites and different resorts to help people kind of really immerse themselves in soul health. And then also I do have a monthly newsletter and things like that that can help people kind of keep that path of evolution going for themselves. But you can buy the book either on my website or obviously in any major bookstore.
I love that. I love that. And I really appreciate, number one, thank you so much for opening up and sharing some insights, some behind-the-scenes information that, you know, a lot of people don't really like sharing. So I really appreciate that. I do.
For sure.
Yeah. Conscious evolution. What does that term mean?
Well, it's actually everything we've just been talking about. In other words, knowing that we're here to learn. And so anything that gets under our skin, any event that happens in our life, any kind of situation that kind of shakes our overall tree, to me, if we stay conscious, if we stay aware that, wait a minute, these things are happening for my betterment, in other words, for my soul to evolve, then we can consciously evolve beyond whatever those situations are. And so, you know, exactly what you were just saying about what you learned about yourself last week is that was a form of conscious evolution, to take the discomfort that you were feeling or the dis-ease that you were feeling and take it to that next level of, gosh, wait a minute, this is about me, what can I learn? So, you know, we are evolutionary beings and we're here to learn at any given moment if we give ourselves that opportunity.
Right, right. And one of the other things I always say is ask the universe for help. Just ask the universe to give you guidance. Every morning I wake up and just, this is the only thing I ask for. I don't ask for things. I don't ask for, I say, bring me closer to you. Align me closer with your meaning, your quote unquote, your way of thinking, your way of living, your way of observing, your way of growing. And when I say that, it's all spiritual. It's not into what man thinks. I'm really into what the universe thinks, because quite frankly, the universe has no complaints about any of us. No complaints about what's going on in this planet. No complaints. And that's how I want to live. That's my purpose. That's my direction. It's the only way I want to live. I want to thank you so much, Catherine, for being part of the show today and just being honest and open and sharing with my audience all of your great, great information.
Well, thank you so much, and I'm glad I was here.
Yes. That's all the time we have on today's show. I want to thank all of you for listening. Reality Spirituality is heard every Saturday and Sunday at 7 a.m., and if you like more information on the coaching programs I offer, you go to my website at Rebecca Norrington, RebeccaNorrington.com, and go to the private sessions tab. If you'd like to receive my free monthly newsletter, just send an email to info@RebeccaNorrington.com. You can follow me on Twitter at RL Norrington, and if you've enjoyed the show, go to Facebook and like Reality Spirituality. Read my blog, rnblog.com. Until tomorrow, my dear audience, and tomorrow it's going to be me and you. I ask you to call in with your questions, with whatever you're going through in your life, with your challenges, with your comments. You know how we do it on Sunday. I want to remind all of you who you are. You are a physical extension of the universe. You're always evolving. You're always changing. You're always growing. Love is patient and love is kind. Be patient and be kind to yourself. Be your own best friend. Remember, you cannot have a happy ending to an unhappy journey. Let's connect again tomorrow. You've been listening to Reality Spirituality. I love you all. Have a wonderful day.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, it's time to get real. Oh, yeah.
Reality Spirituality.
It's a new experience.
Reality Spirituality.
Yeah, keep your ears open for this one.
Reality Spirituality.
You got a question for RLN?
Get real.